Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to auctioneer Dominic Daly, and he was telling us about islands he had for sale off the coast of Ireland. Very interesting chat. We got a number of texts and emails afterwards about islands, and but one caught our eye, this particular one. Hi, Ray. My family used to own the largest inland island in the British Isles, Illaghan Mooar on Lough Derg. It's 280 acres and can be seen clearly on any map of Ireland. I have some great stories, one about the time Gene Kelly, Singing in the Rain Gene Kelly, stayed with us. Regards, Karen Winston. And Karen joins me in studio. Good afternoon, Karen.
Hi, Ray. Nice to be here.
So your family owned an island?
We did, yeah. But there's a history to it. It's
I know.
My grandmother was actually born on the island.
Right. So, now, before we start, let's locate the island for people, right?
Okay.
So it's in the middle of the Lough Derg, which is on the Shannon.
Right in the centre of Lough Derg. And I always say it's not the holy Lough Derg.
Yes,
the other
Lough Derg, yeah, the big Lough Derg.
Yeah.
And it's between Tipperary and Clare.
It's bordered by Tipperary, Clare and Galway.
Yes, and if you were sending a letter to it, what county would you address
Clare.
It to? Clare.
It's officially in the parish of Whitegate.
Right.
And County Clare.
Up until, 150 years more, it was inhabited?
Yeah, it's still inhabited.
Oh, by one person, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it your grandmother?
My grandmother was born on the island.
Right. And how many families would have been on the island at that stage?
At one stage there were 22 families living on it. But when my grandmother was there, they actually had a school on the island. So there were about six families, I think, around about that time.
Mm.
And I can remember clearly her giving out stink about the fact that the school teacher lived with them. And she felt she could never get away from the teacher.
Yes.
But yeah, they farmed it and fished and...
So your dad then was...
So my dad spent all his childhood down in Lough Derg, and his grandparents at that point were still living on the island, and he absolutely loved it.
Mm.
And he spent, as I say, all his childhood. And
he did well for himself?
He did very well for himself, yes, yes, yes.
And
life was good.
Fast forward to the 1980s.
Well... Why fast forward to 1980? You're missing out on a lot.
No, but we just want to get the full... And then we go back.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be chronological.
Okay, so the 1980s were not kind to a lot of people and they were quite unkind to us.
Oh, yes, sorry. So I know why you're not fast forwarding. Yes, so when did he buy the island then?
So he bought the island in 1962.
Yes, sorry about that. Yes.
He bought the island in 1962 and most of it, as I say, was owned by his uncle. So that was easy enough. And then there were various different people who had, you know, field here, a couple of acres there, and he just bought up all the various bits.
Right.
And yeah, so... Yeah.
So you then holidayed there? Or?
My dad spent every weekend, 50 of the 52 weekends
down on
the island.
Right.
Because he farmed it. He grew barley, which he sold Guinnesses and won awards for it. Very proud of that. And he had cattle and eventually he had a pheasant shoot, a commercial pheasant shoot. So it was like a business for him.
And what are your memories of it?
Oh, God, it was the most amazing place, Ray. I mean, it's so hard to imagine. Well, that was one of the things. You know, there was absolutely nothing to interrupt your imagination as a child. There was no phones. We had no electricity. Our running water in the house was pumped up from the lake. No proper bathroom. We had a loo, obviously, but no shower or anything. You did all your washing in the lake. And in the early days, we had gas. Everything was gas. So we had a gas fridge. We had gas lights,
right.
Those old gas lights with the mantle that you lit with the match and woe betide you touch the mantle or it would disintegrate. And then we got very sophisticated and we built on a piece to the house and we got a generator.
Uh-huh.
And then we had electricity and we had hot water.
Okay.
And that was, you know, luxury.
So your dad loved it and was proud of it and invited people there then.
He invited people and lots of people just kind of ended up there.
What, by accident?
Well, yeah. A lot of the time they did.
Yeah. So we mentioned Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly. My mum used to always insist that we spent a couple of days in the Lakeside Hotel in Killaloe during the summer, because it wasn't really a holiday for her. It was hard work for her.
On the island.
There was no, like, nothing, no mod cons of any description. We were in the Lakeside Hotel, and Dad was in the bar, and Gene Kelly was staying at the time, and they got chatting, and Gene Kelly was saying to him, "Oh, you know, so and so, one of the local guys was taking him out to this island, Ilan Moore," and so Dad kind of was listening to all of this, grinning. So he just said, "Look, you know, that's actually my island. Why don't you come?" So he ended up staying with us for about 3 nights.
Wow. Mm. We had his wife, his Patricia Ward Kelly, on.
That's right.
Great stories. About
He was super. He was so nice. And he was telling us all stories about, you know, in Hollywood and filming with some swimmer who was worked opposite him in one of the movies. And she was so tall. They all had to wear built up shoes and everything. And telling us ghost stories at night, terrifying us.
What a childhood you had.
I know. But we had, like at Easter, we used to have, if any of the local farmers had a ewe that had three lambs, we'd get the third lamb. Right. So we'd look after the lamb over Easter, hand feed it and hand rear it. And there was an Easter bush that the Easter bird used to come to every year and lay Easter eggs for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a donkey that we were allowed, when I think back on it, we were allowed to pack up. This is when we would be like 7 or 8. We would put sleeping bags. It's my sister Brona and I and whoever we had down. And we'd have frying pans and sausages. And we were allowed to go across the island.
On the donkey.
Right. And make a little campfire and light the fire and cook the sausages.
Brilliant.
I know. I mean, you can do that.
It's
now.
Enid Blyton stuff, isn't it?
It really is Enid Blyton stuff.
So let's drop another few names then. So we drop Gene Kelly's name. He's probably the biggest, is he? Is he the biggest name?
Yeah, he would be.
Yeah. And politicians were?
Yeah. Paddy Hillary.
Yeah. Former president.
He used to come and shoot pheasants with my dad. Liam Cosgrave.
Yeah. Taoiseach.
The fabulous artist Jim Fitzpatrick.
Ah, yes, who did a lot of the Thin Lizzy albums.
Oh, yeah. He's a friend of mine to this day.
Amazing, yeah.
Hollywood producer Herb Wright.
Don't know him.
No, he did some of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, right.
He was going to do a movie here in the 80s called The Lion of Ireland about the life of Brian Boru.
Right.
Which never happened.
Now, here's the thing. You've brought us on to Brian Boru, and there's a big name to drop.
Yes.
Because the story goes that after the Battle of Clontarf, that they were bringing him down to Killaloe to bury him,
and
they got a boat at Banagher, and they were making their way down the Shannon, and it was during the summer. It was very, very warm, and Brian Boru's body began to decay. Mm-hmm. So the story goes that they, instead of going all the way to Killaloe, they pulled in at Ilan Moore and buried him there, and that's the legend. Right.
And there is a tall standing stone about 8 feet tall on the shore. And that has always been kept whitewashed. And that's supposed to be where Brian Boru is buried.
Uh-huh. Right.
But there's the ruins of a monastery on the island as well that dates back to, I don't know, maybe the 4th, 5th century. Because we did find some carved stones.
Now we'll switch on to the 80s. And sorry about that, because I'm looking at a headline here from the Irish Times, May 14, 1987. Industrialist buys island for £500,000. So that's when your dad had to sell it.
Yes.
Yeah. And he sold it to a German industrialist.
Yes.
And he still owns it.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And they run it now as a commercial shoot.
Right.
So it looks very different now to when we were there. Because it's my dad always, because he farmed it and had cattle, the fields were always beautifully manicured and the hedgerows were always perfect. But now you would look at it and think it was very overgrown. But in actual fact, it's just good cover for the pheasants because dad used to keep birds as well, like exotic birds. We had a big pen beside the house, and he had silver pheasants and golden pheasants and peacocks and
peacocks walking around as well.
Yeah,
right?
We did.
Huh?
And we used to have to, we had glass doors, and we used to have to put newspaper on the bottom of the doors in around this time of the year.
Because they'd see their reflection.
Yes, and they would, we lost
one. They'd start around with themselves.
Yeah. They used to peck at the lag. We did lose one peacock. But yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And there was a family called the Tiernans who lived there at the time, who James Tiernan knew the lake better than anybody. But he used to feed the birds in the evening. He'd come with a bucket and he'd say, come on, chaps, come on, chaps. And they'd all appear. Yeah. It was brilliant. It was absolutely amazing.
Idyllic. So there's one man you're saying living, and he's the caretaker of the island, is he?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He lives on the island.
On his own.
Beautiful. On his own. He has a beautiful garden, grows all his own vegetables, and he's fabulous.
Is there fish in Lough Derg?
My mum was great fisherwoman.
Right.
And you dare not go out in the boat fishing with her because you would be in the boat for 7 hours.
And then she'd cook it when she came back in?
Yeah, we used to have perch and trout
And there's Jean Kelly there having one of your mum's trout, and there's the...
Yeah, exactly.
The peacocks.
And a big gin and tonic to go with it. Hello!
I think you've painted a wonderful picture of your childhood, Karen Weston.
It was magic.
Winston. I was going to call you Weston. That's a different name completely. Karen Winston. And the next time you're on the Shannon and you're in Lough Derg and you see... Elon Moore, you'll know the story of it now, and there it is, and wave to the man on it. What's his name? Can you give us his first name?
Francis.
Wave to Francis there. Karen, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story with us. That's amazing.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's it. It's not it from us, and we have to take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.